Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We've all heard this story many times from little on, and it still amazes me the different ways that we can look at it. But first I want to start with something that I just thought was kind of ironic, and if I'm on my game this morning, I will pull together for you later, but I wanted to just mention something in Deuteronomy that it seems kind of ironic that Moses is reciting the book of the law basically one last time. He's getting ready to hand the reins over to Joshua because Joshua will lead the people across the Jordan River into the promised land. And one of his comments, and I'm paraphrasing, is, "It should not be too hard for you to keep this commandment that I give you." Really? Weren't you guys the guy that got God angry and the only reason why you ain't crossing the river is because he won't let you? But yet he's the one that says, this should not be too hard for you to keep. And yet we know it was. Yet we know it is. And yet we know that all of the commandments and the ordinances weren't there to save the people, but they were there to keep their eyes on God. Because in those sacrifices and ordinances, there was not redemption or the forgiveness of sins. That comes later. So now we have the Good Samaritan. So briefly, I would like to illustrate something or explain something that I have to look at each and every day, and it's a reminder of being in a hurry, a reminder of not remembering how you were taught to do things the right way. And it's right there. You can't see it, but trust me, it's there. I look at it every day. It's a scar. Now, living hard the way that I did, I got a few of those. Some of those are through minor surgeries, the most recent one just recently, but the other ones were self-inflicted. Okay, and this one was no different. I was about 16 years old, it was a Friday night, and I wanted to get into Oconomowoc to get to the football game. My dad had brought home carpeting for the two upstairs bedrooms to the farmhouse and said, you had to help me for 1 hour with that before you could go. One of the jobs was opening up the 5 gallon bucket of glue. So I took out Dad's trusty hook knife, which was very sharp and a very good knife. But instead of placing it in those little holes that they make on the rim and hitting it with your hand so you knock it away from yourself, oh, no, 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 no. Bill was in a hurry. So he reached down, he took that knife, and he drew it right at him. Right there. And I dropped the knife, and I was in at what you would call a porch, but we called the summer kitchen on the farm. And I grabbed a hold of it, and I thought I had everything pinched off and everything was okay, but I knew it was bad. So I yelled at the top of my lungs, Mom! Not knowing where in the house she was, but knew it was a big house and she needed to hear me. Because this type of thing, although my father, with wonderful gifts, did not deal with that type of thing well. So if it was up to Dad, I was really in trouble. Mom was in the kitchen right on the other side of the door, and she yelled back, what? And I said, Mom, you got to get in here. I cut myself real bad. She opened up the door, and I took one look at her face, and all the blood ran out of her face. Now, my mother was a trained caregiver. She was a licensed nurse. And I thought, if she goes down, what am I going to do? And it wasn't that it was life-threatening, but it would have put me in quite a pickle. And then I looked down at my arm and I saw what she was looking at. And the situation had gotten dramatically worse. Worse than I had thought. But before I could look back up again, Mom was there, had the towel, wrapped it around, tied it off, and before I knew it, we were sitting at the kitchen table trying to get a hold of Doc Lawson, who lived on the end of town, this 4 miles away, who charged $2 a stitch. Now I'm dating myself. Or we had to go to the emergency room in Oconomowoc where they charged $7 a stitch. That was the big decision. She had it under control. She, in a really, really awkward moment, she rescued me. I'll never forget that. Now, she did that, and Dad did many times prior to that, and a good number of times after, too. But that's the one that was easiest to tell, and that what came to mind today. But she was there in a moment of need, just as she had been many, many times for many of the kids in the community. We have a man beaten and left for dead on a road that we learned in text study this week that really did go down to Jericho. You can get time, go home and Google that path. But I believe, if I remember right, it drops some 3,200 feet from start to finish on this road. And it was known for all kinds of villains and robbers and murderers and everything, because it was just an easy place to ambush people. And that literally went on well into the 20th century. This was not a safe place to travel, but it was a necessary road to take. So this gentleman comes down this road, is robbed and is beaten, left beaten and bloody and left for dead. When we listen to the story of the Good Samaritan, what we are called to do most of the time is to put ourselves in someone's place. We can't put ourselves in the place of the Pharisee and the Levite. These were holy men of the nation of Israel. Okay? Were they unafraid? Or were they afraid? Maybe. Did they just not want to get involved? Maybe. Was this man ritually unclean at this point? Absolutely. So the way they were raised, there's a thought process that says, we couldn't help. And then out of nowhere comes the hero of our story, a Samaritan, that comes, saves this man. And then the question arises, who is our neighbor? And we will get to that. But before we go there, I would like each and every one of you to do something for me. In your mind, over the course of time where we have been asked to put ourselves, especially in the place of the Samaritan, I want you to put yourself for one moment in the place of that man lying beaten, bloody, and left for dead. And the reason why I ask you to do that is because that man not only represents humanity at that time, beaten, bloodied, and left for dead through sin, but it also represents a place that I'm sure that everyone in this room has been, where we have felt that life has dished something out that we simply cannot take, and that we are beaten down and there isn't anyone or anything there to pick us up. That's not the case, just as in today's story. Because just as we put our place in the man that lays in the road, we put our Lord and Savior in the place of that Good Samaritan. It is very easy to read this story and understand that Jesus is literally talking about himself. That someone to come, not afraid of ritual, not afraid of the robbers, not afraid of where he is, but yet will risk all to save that man. And in the end, our Lord and Savior did just exactly that for all of God's creation on the cross. For on the cross, he laid down his life, and through that, we receive redemption and forgiveness of sins. Something the law couldn't give the people preparing to cross the Jordan. But yet, that is what humanity received. And not only was it a group thing, but it was an individual thing. He did that for you. And he did it for me. He was our Good Samaritan, our Savior, our Good Samaritan. And the wonderful part about this story is that in and through the Holy Spirit, he's not done. He's there every day. He's there when we start to dip. He's there when we crash. He's there when we sing, when we're joyful, when we laugh. But he's there. He's our Good Samaritan that holds us up and pushes us on for another day. And this is that gift and that promise, and I'll use the phrase again, launch pad. Understanding that we are loved and that our Savior is there, that we are called to what the parable points out. If Christ died once for all, And for you and I, that means our neighbor is all. And so who should we do these things for? Those in need. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. But this isn't some lesson book that he gives us that says, this is how you're supposed to do it. The emphasis here is that Jesus always backed up his preaching with action. And today is no exception. Because you can take the story of the Good Samaritan and look at that sacrifice on the cross and know that there is where he took you and I and made us part of his Father's kingdom. Something we didn't deserve, something we couldn't earn, and yet something freely given to all, laid up and stored for us in heaven. So it's from here that we are compelled to love our Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul, and to truly look to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's from there we get our resolve. That is the blessing of the Good Samaritan in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May you know he's always present. May you know he will always care for you. And may this embolden you and send you forth. Amen.